Great to have Frank and Janet with us. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be. And that's not future tense. That's right now. That we should be holy. I've entitled this message, Chosen to Be Holy. Question. Do you feel holy? I dare say that not one person in this room said, yes, I feel holy. Next question. If God chose you to be holy, can you be anything but holy? If God chose you to be holy, you are holy. Present tense, right now. David put it this way in Psalm 86, verses 1 and 2, Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. I'm poor. That means I don't have anything to recommend me. And I'm needy. I have great needs. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. That's the words of David. I am holy. If I'm a saint, that means I am a holy one. That's what the word means. A holy one. Now, last week we considered the spiritual blessing of election, and today this evening we're going to consider the spiritual blessing of being holy. You know, one of the slams against believing in election is it's a great hindrance to holiness, and it prevents holiness, when the fact of the matter is it's the very fountain of holiness. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now that's when Uzziah took upon himself to do the work of a priest. He'd been a good king, but all of a sudden he thought he could offer up incense to God without the Levitical priesthood. And he came in to offer up incense, and God turned him into a leper. And Isaiah said, when I saw that, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Sitting, his work finished, upon a throne of absolute sovereignty, ruling and reigning in complete control. And if I ever see him, that's precisely how we'll see him. High and lifted up. And his train, the skirts of his garment, filled the temple. What filled the temple? The skirts of his garment. You see, the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. But this temple was filled with the skirts of his garment. Verse 2, above it, this throne, stood the seraphims. Now these were living creatures. Some have said they represent gospel preaching. I don't know. I don't know. I I almost don't want to give a preacher that high a position. These are sitting around the throne, above the throne. And these living creatures have six wings. Now remember, these living creatures are sinless creatures. They are the ones who are closest to the throne. I don't know if there's any difference between a cherubim and a seraphim. They may be the same being, I'm not sure. You remember the cherubims that kept Adam and Eve out of the garden after the fall, and they had that sword that went every way to keep them away. But they had six wings. Remember, they're sinless. And with two, they cover their face. Why? Holy, holy, holy. With two, they cover their feet. They're ashamed of their walk. Well, how could they be ashamed of their walk when they had not committed sin? They knew they would commit sin if God didn't prevent it. They knew they were mutable creatures. They knew they could commit sin, and the only reason they didn't commit sin was because God prevented it. They were ashamed of their walk. And with two, they did fly, ready to obey His will and do His bidding. And what did they cry? Now, if you would ask the average religious person, what is God's chief attribute? What would they say? Love. Love, love, love. But that's not what these living creatures say. Holy, holy, holy. Now that's the only time in the Bible, and it's repeated in Revelation chapter 4, where the word holy is repeated three times. Holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Now, holiness means separate. It means other. It means otherness. Holiness means He is utterly unlike me and you. He's transcendent. He's above anything we can even imagine. What is holiness? Well, whatever it is, it always evokes a response toward those who see it. Look at Isaiah's response. Verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm cut off. Now, whatever holiness is, anyone who sees it has this response. And the only ones who can see it in the first place are those who are holy and have been given a holy nature. They're the ones who recognize this. Now, understand this. If you're holy, you're going to see yourself as very sinful, very evil. And it takes a holy nature to see that. A man without a holy nature doesn't have any idea as to what sin is. That's why he has such a high opinion of himself. But a man with a holy nature, when he sees the holiness of God, there's only one response. Woe is me. A picture's worth a thousand words. And look at the men who saw His holiness. Job said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ears, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I hate myself. And I repent in dust and ashes. David, the man over after God's own heart, said, I was as a beast before thee. Daniel, what a man Daniel was. And yet he says, when I saw him, my comeliness turned to corruption. Now, I know this. Anyone who has any idea of the holiness of God, this is how they will see themselves. When Peter found out who Christ was, what did he say? Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't want to have anything to do with the likes of me. What did Paul call himself? The chief of sinners. And there are those who would think, wonder what he was doing that made him think that about himself. That's just someone who has never seen the holiness of God. Now, what is God's holiness? It's his chief attribute. Every attribute is surrounded by his holiness. His love is a holy love. His will is a holy will. His wrath is a holy wrath. His goodness is a holy goodness. His sovereignty is a holy sovereignty. It envelops every one of his attributes, God's holiness. Now, what is God's holiness? Now, I looked at a couple of systematic theologies, and this was the definition that was given. Holiness is, let me read it. I want to read it just right. It's been called his moral perfections. His moral perfections. I don't like that at all. Let me tell you why. It almost makes sense. For one thing, you know, the word moral is not in the Bible. People like to use that word, but it's not in the Bible. But it almost makes it sound like God has some kind of standard he's trying to live up to. Like there's a law over his head that he has to reach this standard. There's no law over God's head. God is who he is. And whatever he does is holy. And he doesn't do it because it's holy. It's holy because he does it. That's who God is. Holy, holy, holy. God's not trying to live up to some kind of standard. God's holiness is his infinite purity. He cannot sin. Now that's God's holiness. He cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin. One thing I know about holiness, holiness cannot sin. It lacks the ability to sin. If it can sin, it's not holy. It's mutable. It can change. Holiness cannot sin. It's his inability, God's holiness. He's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He cannot sin. It is his inability to accept anything that's not just like that is God's holiness. His holiness is his wholeness. He's not made of parts that make up the sun. He's whole. Holiness has something to do with being whole. Now you think about the way the scriptures present the character of the Lord. Even his name, if I take it in vain, it's sin. That's how holy he is. To speak his name without the proper reverence is a great sin. Holy and reverend is his name. Thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He's called the Holy One of Israel. Christ is called the Holy One of God. God the Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. We read of the Holy Scriptures and his holy covenant. I think the scripture that speaks most of his holiness is found in Psalm 22. Would you turn with me there? Now, I realize that David said this, and David felt like he'd been forsaken But was he forsaken? No. You and I both know that these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he says in Psalm 22. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Now, this is the Lord Jesus crying from the cross as he's made sin. He was really forsaken by God. His Father, who loved him so, I could not possibly describe the love between the Father and the Son. There's no love like this love. And yet God forsakes him. Why? Look in verse 3. But thou art holy. How holy is God? When sin is found in his Son. And sin was found in his Son. The sins of God's elect became his sin, so that he became guilty of them. God is so holy. How many times have your children done something wrong and the easiest thing to do was just to look away? You didn't really want to deal with it. God's not like that. All sin must be punished. And when my sin became his sin, God forsook him. Now his holiness separates him from all others. Nobody's like him. None is as holy as the Lord. And that's why idolatry is so evil. It's the humanizing of God. I love that scripture in Psalm 50. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. What's most like God? An angel or a fly? Neither. He cannot be compared to anything. That is his holiness. Now, before time began, he chose a people that they should be holy. Look in Leviticus chapter 20. I don't remember ever seeing this passage of Scripture. I've read it, but it didn't strike me. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. That's election, isn't it? Same thing. According as he has chosen us in him that we should be holy. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. It's talking about the incarnation of Christ. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me. And that's not talking about the scriptures. That's talking about the volume of that book in Revelation chapter 5. Sealed with seven seals, all the eternal purposes of God. In the volume of the book, it's written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure, which were offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first covenant of works, to take it away, that he may establish a second, by the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified. We're declared by God holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He willed the sanctification of his people, and they are perfectly sanctified. As a matter of fact, where that word sanctified, notice that once for all, that's perfectly completed, never to be repeated. Now, this being willed by God to be sanctified came only through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 10. By the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, for God to sanctify me, something's going to have to be done. And it was through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Look in verse 14. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By his death on Christ, by Christ's death on Calvary's tree, every believer was sanctified. Once for all. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish before him. Colossians 1, 20 through 22, having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he in his own flesh, yet now in the body of his flesh, he has reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. And this is a presentation that's already been made. This is not something out here in the future. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That's the sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit and belief of the truth. And wherever you have the sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have the belief of the truth. And whether you have the true belief of the truth, you have the sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit. Now, understand, God chose me to be holy. Christ made me holy, declared me to be holy by his work on the cross. And in the new birth, God the Holy Spirit actually gives every believer a holy nature. A nature that cannot sin. I'm going to show you that from the scriptures. But we read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. What's the first resurrection? The new birth. When you're raised from the dead and given life. Blessed, oh how blessed that man is of God, and holy hath he is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On him the second death hath no power. I love what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, being born again, not of corruptible seed, not of anything subject to corruption, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. I want you to read this with me. 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, I've seen so many translations that says, well, he doesn't practice sin. Sin's not his usual practice. Now, that this word will not allow that. It's not that he doesn't practice sin. All you've got to do is breathe and you practice sin as far as your old nature. It's not talking about that at all. It's talking about that new nature that actually does not commit sin. I love the way Peter calls it, the hidden man of the heart that is not corruptible. The hidden man. Somebody says, well, I can't see where I have a nature that doesn't practice sin. Well, I know it's hidden. It's hidden. It's not something you can see. If you say, I didn't sin there, you missed it altogether. It's the hidden man of the heart, the new man, born of God, born of the Spirit. Now look what it says. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he's born of God. That which is born of the Spirit is holy. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It cannot sin. Somebody says, I don't understand this. Well, whoever thought you could? Me either. But we believe what God says in His Word. Every believer is holy, and it's the holy nature that sees the sinfulness of the old nature. People without a sense of two natures means they only have one. They only have one. Now, if you have two natures, you know you have two natures. I don't need to talk into this. You know you've got a nature that's completely evil, and you've got a nature that comes from God that causes you to believe the gospel, and you know that's the reason you believe the gospel. Hebrews 2:11, listen to this scripture. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. I'm holy because I'm united to Christ. He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. And the Lord gives us the best illustration, the vine and the branches. The same stem going through the vine goes through the branches. There's no connecting point. The same stem that goes through the vine goes through the branches. And that is the holiness that every believer possesses. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, He's made unto us sanctification. Now, when he says, be ye holy, for I am holy, you can only be holy if you are holy. You cannot become holy by something you do, nor can you become more holy by something you do, nor can you become less holy by something you do. Now, don't you believe people grow? Of course I do. There are degrees of growth in grace. There's children, there's young men, there's fathers. He did say grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is growth in the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt about that. Living things grow. But you'll not be any more holy in heaven than you are right now. You believe that? Now, let me remind you, this shows just how much the flesh drags us down. But you'll be no more holy in heaven than you are right now. Turn with me for a moment to Isaiah 65. This is the only time in the Bible we find the word holier. Isaiah 65. Verse 3, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of bricks, the practice of idolatrous religion, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, its death, which eat swine flesh and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Now that sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, God says, a fire that burneth all the day. Now that's the only time the word holier is used. And you know, so everybody uses this. People in the world use this, don't they? Everybody hates a holier than thou attitude. Well, God hates it worse than anybody. And it's just not real. You know, there's only two kinds of people in this world. Holier than thou and the chief of sinners. That's the only two kinds. Holier than thou and the chief of sinners. When we talk about holiness, I think, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, all the elect are holy brethren, chosen to be so. This is a very interesting fact. There's only one time a holy man walked upon this earth without a sinful nature. And you know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The holy man of God had no sinful nature like every other believer has had. He had no sinful nature. He lived in perfection. He lived without sin. He lived the perfect life, perfectly accepted to his Father, and there's not one person that could recognize it. You know what that lets me know? The natural man does not have a clue as to what holiness is. The one time holiness walked upon this earth, nobody had a clue. And they ended up nailing him to a cross. They, natural man hates holiness when it comes right down to it. But they certainly can't recognize it. Now, when you're around somebody and you feel watched and judged by them, everybody experiences that all the time. When you're around somebody and you feel like they're watching you and judging you and sizing you up, it's because of one of two things. Number one, you just feel guilty. And you're projecting what you think upon that person because you feel guilty. Now, I've done that I don't know how many times. I feel bad about something and somebody looks at me and I'm thinking they're judging me. No, what it is I feel guilty. And I'm just projecting that. Or it could be that that person is holier than thou. And how often do you have that attitude? Holier than thou. Oh, it's such an offensive way. Holier than thou. Look at that person. Anytime somebody sits in judgment on you, here's what they're saying. I've got the beams out of my eyes, and I can see clearly to help you get the splinters out of your own. Not. Not. That's just wrong as it can be. Let me tell you something that always comes with true holiness. Humility. Where there is no humility, no believing yourself to be the chief of sinners, there is no holiness. Where there is holiness, there is a genuine humility before God and before men. Now, holy God requires that his holy people regard him as holy. Turn with me for a moment to Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I'll be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. He didn't say anything. Well, what had happened? We'll look up at verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein to offer up incense, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now, what was that strange fire? It was fire that was from not off the altar. It was some other kind of fire. I don't know why it was. They thought they couldn't get the fire off the altar. Maybe they thought, as long as we're sincere, this will do. I mean, the incense is going to be burned even if this fire is not off the altar. Now, what's the altar for? The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I think that anything about me can be accepted apart from the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, all I'm doing is saying God is not holy. God is not to be regarded as such. I'm trying to bring him down to my level. And verse 2 says, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, oh, I'm so sorry this happened. God's so harsh. No. Then this is that the Lord spake, saying, I'll be sanctified. I'll be regarded as holy in them that come nigh me. And before all the people, I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. He didn't say anything. He knew that what God did was right. Now, let me tell you, the only way I regard him as holy is by looking holy to Christ. That's the only way I truly regard him as holy. If I bring anything else, it's degrading to him. I'm trying to put him down on my level. And he won't have it. He won't have it. There's only one way to approach a holy God, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. And that's the only way we dare come. Peter said, sanctify, regard as holy the Lord God in your heart. How do you regard him as holy? By looking to Christ alone as your wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, somebody that's holy, somebody that has a holy nature, that person will look holy to Christ and nowhere else. And if you start thinking, well, I'm holy, what you're talking about is some kind of behavior in you that you think is improving you. And that is an abomination. That's swine's flesh. That is the abominable thing. I'm to look to Christ only. And I make no apology for saying that. I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? That's the only way I can come into a holy God's presence is through the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I look nowhere else. And let me give you another couple of scriptures, and this is just as important. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now that word follow is pursue. Pursue peace with all men. Pursue a peaceful relationship and pursue holiness. Now if you are holy, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pursue holiness. It takes a holy nature to do this, but if you are holy, you will follow after, pursue, make holiness your aim. And Peter said in 1 Peter 1:15, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, if you are holy, he made you holy. You are holy. That's not anything that becomes holier or less holy. You're holy. Partakers of the divine nature is what Peter called it. And I still love what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:4. He called it the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. It's not even subject to corruption. And I love the way he called it the hidden man. It's not something you see. It's there. It's there. You're aware of it, but you don't see it. But it's what every believer possesses. And every believer is to pursue holiness. Pursue it. And be holy in all manner of conversation. Now, what a blessing, chosen, that we should be holy. Now, the next time you hear somebody talk about an election as if it's the enemy of holiness, you're talking to somebody who doesn't know what holiness is in the first place. They don't even have a clue. Let's pray. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. Father, we come in to thy presence only in the name of the Holy One of Israel, thy Son. And Lord, we ask that we might be found in him, united to him, chosen in him, redeemed by him, made holy by his Spirit. And Lord, we ask that you would give us the grace to pursue holiness and to be holy in all manner of conversation. Bless this word for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. You know, I'd like to sing as a closing hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. I think it's hymn number 70. I think that's it. Is that it? 70. We'll stand and sing.